Turning to Psalm 111, and I'll just begin. I won't read it through because we read it from the Coverdale version just together earlier. Following on from Psalm 110 and the glorious ascension and session and intercession of the Lord Jesus Christ until he makes his enemies his footstool. Psalm 111 follows with praise. Praise ye the Lord. You all know the Hebrew for that sentence, which you might not think you know much Hebrew, but it's the word hallelujah. It all comes as one word in the Hebrew, so we're doing well with our Hebrew. But what a expression it's. It calls ourselves to praise the Lord. We are praising the Lord as we say it. We're calling upon all others to come and to praise the Lord. And it is the most fitting response to the glorious work of the Lord Jesus Christ, of which we see so clearly, of which the New Testament teaches, is so clearly shown in his sitting at the right hand of the Father and being a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, the priest without beginning or end. Now, the important thing, following on from Christ's great work, and as he is seated in heaven till he makes his enemies his footstool. We, the people of God, gather Sunday by Sunday to praise the Lord together. And one minister I've known and heard speaking, he always, well, I've only heard him talk a few times, speaking about, well, what are we doing when we gather together to praise God's name? And he describes it as it's like a restatement week by week of God's covenant. He reminds us of what he has promised. He sets it forth before us week by week, and we respond with it, with worship and in it, with thankfulness and with a revitalization for the week ahead. That's some way of expressing it. It's a covenant renewal ceremony, something like that. I didn't use quite those words. But he provides us then with something quite simple to remember of Jesus Christ. Our problem is that, as we sang so much in that last hymn, we are helpless and we cannot fulfill with our hands the least of the Lord's demands. We come helpless to him for grace. Fly, foul, I to the fountain fly. Wash me, Saviour, or I die. We need continually the renewing of the Holy Ghost and the remembrance of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's not without reason that things were given often in very simple ways. And we have an extremely simple sermon this morning, because this Psalm 111, as the one after it, Psalm 112, this is where our Hebrew would be really, really good if we were really good at Hebrew, because it's an alphabetical psalm. There are 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. You think that there's only 10 verses here, but each verse is in two parts. In fact, the last two, they put three starting lines. So there's 22 lines in this psalm. One with each letter, starting with each letter. We think, and efforts have been made to try to do the same in English and to put it into English. I don't think it works very well. So, although I can't give you an ABC through this, I will give you the, perhaps you'll be able to think of some ways of remembering the first letters of the English words, although I can't think of ways to make them up into words. But just to say really that this, if you could think of 22 simple words, quite a lot of words really, and you might want to just start with a few of them, to express the return of praise to God. And it centers in this psalm on his works, and particularly his works towards his people. This is the work that we read about in Psalm 110, of course. So some very simple words. It's almost so simple to really think like this. But the first verse is praise. That is the first word that we have there. And actually, the first line, praise ye the Lord, is almost treated just above it. But then the first verse proper is, I will praise the Lord. And it's that praise there that we start with. In the assembly. So there's a gathering together as we talk about the Lord's Day especially. And I noticed in the Coverdale version it had the secret assembly first and then the congregation. We might think of the assembly as being the bigger meeting and the congregation the smaller meeting, but it's for all gatherings, public and private. And so we've got the praise of God, we've got the assembling together, and then we've got greatness. The second verse, the works of the Lord, we're talking of the works of the Lord generally, but here the first word that you come to in the Hebrew is great. Great are the works of the Lord. And so we have a lot to wonder at and to be joyful at and to praise God for. Great. There are many people in this world who think they're great. Many things that other people think are they're great, but God is great. His works are great. And people think, well, it's a small thing. But the work of this salvation is a mighty work. To save a sinner who is foul, as we called ourselves when we sang that psalm, is a great, great work. Yeah, this work, the fourth word, sought. Some people have their own Bibles and they like to mark words and underline them. I mean, there are lots of words in this psalm, you could underline every word, but if you've got your own Bible, there's no harm in marking words in Bibles. The first Bible I ever had, as I read it through, I just highlighted various texts. It's not a sacrilege to the Word of God to do that. Of course, no word is more important than others, but certain words will strike us. And here, the fact that alphabetically they start with great words in Hebrew, we can use such things to our benefit, and we could just mark out these words in this text. Sort out of all them. Seek and you will find. We're told to diligently seek after the Lord. And they're sought out not by all but them that have pleasure in them. They're great. Yet there's a seeking and a searching. So there's this assembling together on the Lord's Day to encourage one another, to help one another, to be drawn together as the God has commanded in assemblies and congregations. These people are called the upright. We wouldn't think we're very upright, but if we are gathered together, if we've been accepted in Jesus Christ, we're counted among the upright. His work, the fifth word, honourable. His work is honourable. What a word that is. How rare it is today that certain people, they have a title in front of their name. The honourable so-and-so. And often they're not very honourable. But the work of the Lord truly is honourable. great honor is due to him, and glorious. Well, that you could underline that. That comes, no, that's not underlined here as a start of a sentence word. His righteousness is, it's honorable and glorious, isn't it, his work. Right, his righteousness endureth forever. People doubt that there's anything good, anything righteous will be done. Everything's in chaos, they think. But no, the righteousness of God is absolutely eternal. And he does deal righteously. He is righteous. He's our righteousness. The Lord our righteousness. To all that trust upon him, most important doctrine. How can we appear before God? Well, he clothes those that turn to him with his righteousness. And so that's our first six words. And then, remembered, a memorial. He hath made his wonderful works to remember, or as the Hebrew would put it, remembered hath he made his wonderful works to be. The words are in different order, so it's remembered that comes first. He, we'll have later that God has remembered, but here, how could you forget? If we've been redeemed by the blood of Christ, who died for sinners and we've turned to him and trusted him, this, how could we forget this work he's made to be remembered? You could not think of a more memorable way of thinking about God, of being a child of God, than that he's done such a great work. The cross of Christ, how could it be forgotten? How could it be despised? It's to be remembered. And gracious, the second word in this verse, that's the beginning of a line. Gracious. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. So many wonderful themes here. We're just going over them so quickly, but if you could remember some of these words and bring them to account, bring them to your memory, that the Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He's righteous, as we read of, and you think, well, that rules me out then, but he's gracious. Even when we have forgotten a little while, he is gracious to his people. It's all the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Corinthians, he speaks of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God. He puts it almost equal to the love of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he's given meat. That's the next word, meat. Well, we don't want to talk about meat. You want the spiritual things here. Well, he's provided all things. And it's a funny thing, food, isn't it, really? A lot of people are funny about eating. They have worries about this food or that food. And it's become a very strange thing. And then you've got the other extreme. You've got the delicacies of food. You've got the high art of cuisine and the creation of these most amazing things that people produce, and on the other hand, people are half afraid to touch food. But the true thing is that he has given meat unto them that fear him. There's something very wholesome about food. It's maybe the one time when some of us pray, we give thanks to God for our food, and it's a marvelous reminder. And you know, you need food. Some of us are worse than that. Some of you can probably go for most of the day without eating. But others of us, after a few hours, we really want some food. And God provides meat, bread, all sorts of sustenance for his people. And here the word is actually the word pray. He's caught something for us and given it to us even. And of course he gives us spiritual food. Jesus Christ is the bread of life. Man cannot live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeded from the mouth of the Lord. It's marvellous to think. What a reminder we've got. Did you, we talk, you're going to forget every time you eat. Think about that you'll be perishing without it. And God is giving you supply for your body, but much more for your soul, your spirit, to be dwelling in Him. The hidden life in Jesus Christ. He's provided sustenance for you. He's provided you with repentance. Our sins, you think, well, we may be cut off from God. But He supplied a continual fount of grace and blessing. The blood of Christ cleansing us from our sin is once done. But we come back and back. And we're given renewal day by day and strength as we say, "Oh Lord, I've sinned against Thee." And He says, "Your sins are forgiven thee." This is our food. We know we're alive when we're forgiven in Jesus Christ. He's given meat unto them that fear Him. This special meat to those that fear Him. He would ever be mindful of His covenant. And the word here is mindful, which is the same word as remember. But here it's God that remembers. The remembering here is the mindfulness of God, of His covenant. He's made His promise to His people in the blood of His Son, and He's mindful of it. He remembers it. So, and then we have power. God has power. He showed His power, His people, the power of His words. Again, if you put this in the Hebrew, the word power will come first. It'll be power He has showed unto His people, or something like that. The power of His works to His people He has shown, or it'd be something like that. It starts with power first. You begin the sentence with the power. Where is it? It's God's works to His people. Another great word to remember, that there is power in what God has done. He's not just remembered things, but it comes forth. There's this great power in God. And He gives it, that He may give them the heritage of the heathen. God gives to His people. He's given us our salvation. He's given us the heritage of the heathen. The whole world, almost the whole world, had rebelled against God and become heathen. And yet, well, the first was the account of the moving the people into Israel as their land. He gave it to them. He took it away from the heathen and gave it to them. Well, this applies much more greatly in the way that the gospel has then gone forth. Who would have thought that those wild savages of the British Isles would have come to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ? Pagans. Those offering sacrifices of even perhaps of their own children, and all sorts of terrible wickedness being done and being humbled before Jesus Christ. Well, this is what it should be. This is what this heritage has, and it's spreading and has spread around the world to various countries. Of course, there's been rebellion against it for those who don't remember these things. But this is what He's given. With great power. Then His works. The works of His hands again. Speaking of His works again. Being used here. But the word works comes first here. God's work. His hands. Of course. So well, God doesn't have hands. It's His language is used for our benefit. The works of His hands. Of verity. Truth. Judgment. And all His commandments are sure. And that's the last word of that verse, is actually the first of the second line of that verse. Sure are all His commandments. We can be sure when we follow God's commandments that we're on the right track. When we've returned to the Lord Jesus Christ, when we have been turned to love the Lord and to seek to keep what's summarized in the Ten Commandments, that's sure, that good, That's the way to go. He's done this. They stand fast forever and ever, and are done in truth and uprightness. So they've got the word stand fast. And the second part of verse 8 begins with the word done. I like that word. It's like the word finished, done, in truth and uprightness. How good is our God? Well, brings us to the point of redemption. That is the first word of this line. Redemption, he's sent unto his people. Commanded redemption and commanded his covenant forever. What great words all these are. Redemption, to be redeemed. Would have been lost. God has redeemed his people. He's commanded a covenant. If God has commanded it, his commandments are all sure that we read about before, then his covenant promise to his people. What have we to fear? And then actually this one, verse 9, it's got three letters to it, because it's not the English verses. It would have had 11 verses, I suppose, if it had been Hebrew, but it's done in such a way here to sum these things up. Holy and reverent is his name. And the word holy there is the first word of that line. Holy. And reverent is his name. And just to quickly deal with one small misunderstanding that comes up occasionally. The word reverent means feared, respected, or honoured. And of course, a person isn't feared in the same way as God is feared. A minister is not only, it is not a, he doesn't become a reverend or the reverend in the sense of you talk about someone being, you don't talk about reverend so-and-so, respected, honoured, feared person, but it's respected Mr. So-and-so. There is a respect towards the ministry because they bring the tidings. They bring the glad tidings. And there, if you read the Old Testament, you'll find that there's much animosity towards ministers of the gospel. They go out among to defend the sheep from wolves. True ministers of the gospel. They give their life for the work. And as we read in 1 Timothy, I was reading that chapter before that quotation in 1 Timothy chapter 5. As we turn to that chapter, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honour, especially they who labour in the word and doctrine. Scripture talks of honour being due to different people in different ways. But it is not, it's a style. It's not a title. It isn't. It's just used as a respectful phrase for a minister of God, and it's a respect towards their duty and their work, not a personal honor as such. It's not something in their own personality because they're bearing the word of God. They're bearing the responsibility towards the people of God. That they come sent by the Lord with the word of God. There is a due respect. It's nothing to do with anything beyond that. And the man of God is to be like Moses, to be the most humble of all men. It's a respect for the word of God, a respect for the Lord. And it is not to be taken by ministers in a high-handed way to be high-handed over people, but they're to be gentle with the flock of God and to give themselves for them. So there is a respect for the for the work of the minister, that it's not his name. It's because he comes in the name of the Lord. The fear of the Lord, the holy and reverend is his name. It's because they come in his name that a minister of the word of God is also to be treated with the respect, because they come in the name of the one whose name, not only his person, but his name as well, is to be honoured, respected and treated duly. You get these silly, jokey programs about vicars and things, and probably not true ministers of God anyway, but it's all to mock the seriousness of the name of God and such things we would flee from. And that's helpful just on that point. But it's the Lord's name that is holy and reverent, to be greatly honoured and respected. So we come to the last verse, and just three simple words there, not to be able to say much about them, but just the words beginning, understanding and praise here. The three last lines of the three first words of the lines of the last verse. The beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. So you can, the emphasis different places, but just to get the alphabet, they have the words this way round, but they come with emphasis. The beginning. We've got to the end, but we're back to the beginning. A good understanding have they that do his commandments, and his praise endureth forever. Well, I'm really just giving you the words of this psalm in such a simple way to set out, that we can just remember a few simple words. And if you go through this again ourselves, and just see that there are a simple, plain ways of praising God. Now the challenge was from Isaiah chapter 5, where we read that these simple things are forgotten by the people of God themselves. It's hard to imagine, but it's true. There are people, they say, well, I became a Christian once at some kind of a conference or something, or when I was a child I did this and that, and then it's all gone, and their whole life has got carried away with them. So here in this psalm, we're to remember the works of the Lord, and we're given certain words that emphasize its greatness, as we've had there. Praise in the assembly, great, sought out, honorable, righteousness, remembered, gracious, the meat, the mindfulness, the power, the giving, the works, the sure, stand fast, done, redemption, commanded, holy, beginning, understanding, and praise again at the end. These are great words, and we could go on and on for a long time, but see what happened in Isaiah. He went to his vineyard. This vineyard had been planted. The stones had been taken out of the ground. It should have been bringing forth grapes, but it only brought forth wild grapes. And it says in there, verse 5, and now go to, I tell you, what will I do to this vineyard? I will take away the hedge thereof. It shall be eaten up. It shall break down the wall thereof. It shall be trodden down. And explains it down there in verse 11. Woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink, that continue until night. And then it says in verse 12 about they have all this music and lovely feasts and that, but they regard not the work of the Lord, neither consider the operation of his hands. They forgot. They didn't remember. They had simple psalms like this, with just a few words put so simply. There's nothing difficult in this psalm. Really simple, just simple sayings to remember the works of the Lord, to praise his name And they didn't remember. Everything they did was in vain. Complete to their ruin, they had parties that went on and on, lovely music, like the world that we live in, full of everything. But they didn't consider. They didn't regard the work of the Lord, neither consider the operation of his hands. Therefore, my people are gone into captivity. This was the story of the people of Israel. It happened to them. They went into captivity. They lost all that was good that God gave them. It's all taken away from them. And they lived as slaves, just like it is in Britain today. They didn't consider the work of the Lord. And they didn't consider the operation of his hands. And they were taken away into captivity. And we run around thinking, what can be done for this country? What if we had, would some other political party, would they be better? Would they sort it out? Completely gone off the rails totally, not considering that God has made us. And it's right for the schools, the government, the media, everyone, so many lives, people we know, people we love, families and friends, living without considering the work of the Lord, and are living in great danger. And as we read in that Isaiah, wasn't it, earlier on, about hell was going to be filled. There was more room. They were making more room in hell for them. It's a miserable state. Let us not be like that. Let us be people who can gather together on the Lord's Day and remind each other to say, Hallelujah, praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we do praise thy name. We thank thee for the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, the great work of thy hand, that he came into the world to save sinners. And Lord, though he is utterly despised by so many who go on partying from morning till night, living their lives all on a track without considering thy works, what utter fools they've been. When thou hast been so gracious to thy people, when thou hast filled our hearts with rejoicing and with joy, Lord, we pray thou would guard our hearts by thy Holy Spirit. Lord, keep us from falling, we pray. We thank thee that it's only thou, and we thank thee for the reminder of thy promises, thy sure, steadfast commandments and covenant towards thy people. We thank thee, Lord, that thou hast given thy people faith in the Lord Jesus Christ to confess our sins, our utter unworthiness, and our complete trust in thy redemption. Thou hast redeemed us. We were dead in sins. We couldn't redeem ourselves. Thou hast done it all. And it's all to thy glory. We thank thee, Lord, that thou art gracious, righteous. Thou hast power. Thou dost supply our meat. Remind us day by day, even when we eat, Lord, of how soon we could perish, that thou hast supplied again and again and so much more for our spiritual needs. And we pray, Lord, thou would enable us to be unafraid of this world, unafraid of what people would say, but that we may say that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Saviour of sinners. There's no other name given under heaven whereby men must be saved. The name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee that his name is holy and reverent, and help us to live in accordance with his holiness and in true awe of thee, Lord. We thank thee that thou hast promised to never leave us, that thou dost comfort thy people, that thou dost protect us, thou will never let us go, and that thou dost encourage us day by day to seek thee in prayer, to ask thee for help. Lord, we can do nothing without thee. Have mercy upon us. Bless this congregation and the Church of England continuing, and our other friends and our loved ones, Lord. In the Lord Jesus' name, Amen.